John 13:14-15, let me read it to you. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me, to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you look at all of us in this moment, in this very minute, but you look at me differently because I'm a teacher of your word. I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Elise, tell Chase that I enjoyed watching him worship today. Will you tell him that? Yeah, it's good to see you. Tell him to look at me. Will you do that? Yeah, it's Chase Armstrong, right? That's right. Okay. His last name is Armstrong. He goes Armstrong. So for that, I like that. We're going to be talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet today. Let me go ahead and handle this now. For 32 years, I've had people ask me, how come foot washing is not an ordinance of the church? Because the passage I just read, it says for you to go and do this as well. You're going to hear today that foot washing is an example of serving. And we're going to be handling the phrase or the topic of serving today. One reason I don't believe it's an ordinance of the church, you're going to say, well, he commanded us to go do it. It's right there in that word. Well, you got to know what it means. But one reason I don't think it's an ordinance of the church is because the two ordinances of the church are baptism and the Lord's Supper, and both of those reflect on his death. Foot washing doesn't reflect on his death. Now, it does point to a cross in the future, but it is reflecting on serving others, and it becomes the picture of that. So when you take communion, it's remembering his body given, his blood shed. When you're in baptism, it's burial and resurrection. So for those of you who may have that question in your head out there, I wanted to address that. It is something I've seen done. I have seen it done, not on a ritualistic basis, but something because they felt like that's what they needed to do. That's great. But the picture here is of serving. And Jesus honors serving. In Hope Church, we're almost 21 years old. We will be in August. We don't really go by titles here, that he or she is this or that title. And the title we carry is James. It tells us in James 1:1, I am a servant of the Lord. Paul is going to say that. The Greek word is doulos. It means slave or servant. And really, the only designation we take as a follower of Christ is we become a servant of the Lord. So with our hope arrow, I want to emphasize that. I gave you a little break during Advent. We handled it last fall. Gave you a little break during Christmas. And now we're going to be revisiting during our Lent season. If you want to be a part of our church, you're going to say, hey, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I want you to do this. I want every member, every attender of our church, I want you to do that. Well, what's your goal for me? My goal for you is to do that. So you're going to come up and you're going to say, hey, Pastor, I want you to plug me in. I go, okay, plug into that. That defines if you're connected with this church or not. The H, have spiritual conversations. We're baptizing people, a lot of people, and we're doing it just because you're just discussing and bringing up the very person of Jesus. It's just a casual conversation. It's crucial conversation, but it's a casual conversation. H, have spiritual conversations. The O, open up the scriptures. You don't need me to carry on your Bible study. I want to remind you, don't get mad at me. Some of you are new to our church. Some, this may be your first service. You're going to go, man, this preacher is weird. Well, you already know what everybody else already knows. All right? I am weird. Jesus never invited people to Bible study. Now, yeah, I'm not saying don't have Bible study. You can have it. He told us to disciple people on how to live and follow Christ. Christian is used very little in the New Testament, and it can be derogatory, meaning you act like you're a bunch of little Christ. That's at Antioch. Disciple is used over and over and over again. Am I going to have a Bible study tonight here? Yeah, I'm going to have one. But you've got Bible study material at your fingertips like you've never had before. You don't need me to engage you in that. I can't give you a desire for the Word of God. You, the Holy Spirit has to do that with you. And it's right before you. You know, it's right. Now, I will disciple you. I will do that. But open up the Scriptures. The P is pray and listen. Just pray and listen. What is the Lord telling you to do? Follow that. Eat with people. He ate with people so much they considered him a glutton, even though he wasn't a glutton. He ate with them. He communed with them in that, and he was able to teach them and actually have spiritual conversations with them over food. And the arrow is know that we send you. You're sent into this world. 67,000 people in Franklin and Anderson County are not connected to the church in any form or fashion. That's out of about 76 or 77,000 in population. We're not going to reach them if we're just inviting people. Do I want you to invite people to church? Of course I do. Absolutely. But that's just where most of it stops. Most of it stops there. What can you do? I'm not going to create programs for you to be active. I'm going to get you plugged into this. Do this. This is a way for us to reach 67,000 people. Is all of you go out. I've given you a card today. Have that card nearby. We're going to use it in just a moment. At the end of my sermon, we're going to use it. But I'm going to encourage you, if two people God's laid on your heart, and write their names down and go bless them and minister to them this week and watch what happens. Exponentially, we can. I want your mind off of filling all the chairs here. That will happen, but that's not our goal. Our goal is much bigger. You're going, well, our goal is 67,000 people. No, it's not. What's our goal? You all help me out here. I'm struggling. What's our goal? What? The world. Absolutely. I've always said this. If Wild Turkey and Tyrone can go global from Tyrone, then so can we. Right? There's hardly a country in this world, on this planet, Wild Turkey doesn't send a bottle to. Right? And it's Tyrone. You know, it's a river town. Nothing wrong with it. I have people I love there very much, but it's small. And they're going global from Tyrone. If they can do it, we can do it. So our picture is just not even on 67,000. We're already doing that monthly. Monthly, you're touching the world with 5 international orphanages in Kenya, Uganda, Guatemala, Haiti, and Honduras. Every month, some of our people are there. Some of our people have given up their jobs and are living there and ministering there, and you know that. So don't even think our goal is 67,000 people. It's much beyond that because it was with Jesus. That's another sermon for another day. But our hope arrow is really shown here, and it becomes a way for you to serve. We want you to serve, and you can use this model to be able to serve him in that. With the disciples, you can ask the question, are they misunderstanding some things here? And what they're misunderstanding is their idea of a king would be like King David. He's going to come in and save Israel. Jesus is already entered, even though we haven't celebrated Palm Sunday, in our story of the Passion of Christ right now through Lent. He's already happening. He's coming in to Jerusalem. And the parade is that of a king in Hosanna to the highest. He's the one who will rescue us. Well, some of those people were saying rescue spiritually. Some of them were going, would you come rescue our town? Just like we elect a governor or a president, maybe to help our state or America. We can think of the same way. But you have to understand the problem going on. The disciples, and it's not really their fault, but they're thinking about, well, this King Jesus is going to save Israel. It's going to save Jerusalem. And his picture is much bigger than that. And he is a king, but he's a king of a different kingdom. And that's what he's trying to get them to understand, of a different kingdom that he serves them in. So we've got to get the setting here. And the setting is they're at a meal. And usually there is somebody, especially this place, there's somebody there to wash their feet. This is usually a Gentile slave. It's usually a woman or a child. And you've got to get the picture. They reclined. Their tables were low to the ground, and they reclined. So you got head and feet, and you got somebody else's head at somebody else's feet. And some of you are already grossing out on me already. Can you imagine that at a meal? I mean, invite me over to your house, and you say, Pastor, sit there, and I take my sock and shoes off and throw my big foot up there with the fork and the knife. It's not very pleasing, right? No, it's not. So foot washing was a common practice because the way they ate, you had people lying down, so your head was going to be near somebody else's foot. And let me put this in perspective for a moment. Their roads were not paved. They were very dirty. The animals that they had that pulled carts and that they led around or even rode used the same roads that they do, i.e. a horse in a parade on Main Street. So just let me, you got the picture? All right, you got the picture. There's no sewage disposal in the homes. There's no indoor plumbing. So sewage was on the ground, sewage mixed into the streets. You had animal excrement there as well. You've got trade going on. There's just dirt and waste and everything. Now that I've added to it, imagine reclining at a table and your head is placed at the foot of somebody else. It's not very desirable. So you've got to get the picture of what's going on here. The slave that would be there to wash their feet was not there in this account. He's just not there. And the Gentile slave, the woman or a child, is not there. And Jesus is going to take up that role. So the slave that was there to serve them is not there. So it's not just that Jesus comes up with this idea. This was a custom they were used to, and it just wasn't happening. Let me explain this in an everyday life situation. You avoided dirt as much as possible because, and this is going to be the responsibility of everyday life, because when you came in the house, you tried to clean your feet because your feet have just been walking in waste, basically. It's been compounded and it's there, but it's waste. So you come in and if your feet are real dirty, it takes more water, right? And so if you use more water, that means you gotta go to the well and get more water. So using it, dirty feet mean more water, and who wants to go to the well on a regular basis? That's all they had to do. They couldn't turn on a faucet. So in just everyday life, think about it. There's a word in scripture that's used for the word deacon in the church, or the word diakonos is the Greek word. It means one who's willing to get his feet dirty. It's a picture of serving. Now in our culture, you haven't seen really deacons that served. You saw deacons that gave permission on whether you could or you couldn't, and mostly it was you can't, right? Deacons were a permission-given body, not a serving body. But the very word deacon, diakonos, means serving. And they're the ones who get their feet dirty. For example, you and I dodge a mud hole. Well, they would dodge dust pools because the dust pool just wasn't dirt. It was dirt and waste. But the word for diakonos, ones who are willing to get their feet dirty, mean they're willing to go through whatever they need to go through to serve. They don't dodge anything. They're not dodging anything. I'm willing to be able to serve. So with this in mind, I want you to look at verse 16 because verse 16 is going to tell us that Jesus recognizes that a slave should have been there to wash their feet and they were not. So Jesus uses this as a great teaching time. He said, a slave is not greater than his master. And a messenger, we're going to get to this in a moment, or teacher, is not greater than the one who sent him. So he's talking about a slave and a teacher, which could be referred to as a rabbi. And so this is recognition that a slave would do the foot washing. Look at verses 6 and 8. Verses 6 through 8. We have Simon Peter being classic Simon Peter. And I'm going to bring that out to you in just a moment. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, said, "What I am doing, you don't understand now, but afterwards you will." And this is Simon Peter being Simon Peter. "Well, you're not going to wash my feet ever. You're never, ever going to wash my feet." Why? Because Peter knew that was the role of a Gentile slave, a woman or child. In his mind, a king comes and saves the kingdom. You with me? You got to get that. He has no real good picture, and it's not really his fault, it's his culture. His idea of a king is to rule and reign. But he's getting ready to see that this king bows and serves. That's why he said, "I'm a king of a different kingdom." So he says, you will never wash my feet ever. And Peter said, Jesus replied, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. You are not a part of me at all. And we'll get to that point in just a moment as well. I just want you to see the picture is usually a slave does the foot washing. A slave or a servant does the foot washing. I want to read the whole story to you in John 13, verses 4 through 11. And let's get the whole picture, even though you have some of it. Let's look at it. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel, tied it around himself. Next, he poured water in a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter. We just handled this, but I'm going to show you something different here in a moment. He came to Simon Peter, asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I am doing, you don't understand now, but afterwards you will." Peter replies, "You will never wash my feet ever." And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part of me, Simon Peter." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." He's saying, if you will let me wash your feet, we are connecting. There's an establishment of I am serving you. And so this begins to click in Simon Peter's head. Now, here it is. Simon Peter goes 0 to 100 in one verse. Anybody out there resemble Simon Peter? Are you 0 from 100? Man, I am. I am that way. Look how he goes from zero for, you're never going to wash my feet ever. And then he's like, "Well, not only wash my feet, will you get my hands and my head too?" 0 to 100. You see that? I mean, he's going, if washing your feet means that it shows my relationship to you, then wash all of me. Wash my head, wash my hands, wash my head, wash me all, because I want to be connected to you. 0 to 100. That resembles so many of us. But in this passage, you need to understand that he's handling two customs. One custom is a Gentile slave, woman, or child usually does the foot washing. He's doing it instead of them. The other custom is a rabbi or a teacher doesn't wash the feet of their students. And I go back to verse 16. Jesus handles this. In verse 16, he said, "A slave is not greater than his master. A teacher or a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him." So Jesus is handling both customs. You're used to a Gentile slave, woman, or child washing your feet. I'm going to. Rabbis don't, and I am your rabbi. I'm your teacher, and I know they usually don't handle that. It was considered unclean. There was a Jewish purity code that they went by, and it was unclean for the rabbi to be able to do that. But look at verses 12 through 16 for just a moment. 12 through 16. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, rabbi. This is well said, for I am," meaning, "but I am a rabbi who did wash your feet. I did that. Notice how Jesus flips that phrase. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, so it's not an ordinance, it's an example, that you also should do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave who washed the feet, usually washed the feet, is not greater than his master, and a messenger teacher is not greater than the one who sent me. These two customs were in the mind of the disciples. So Jesus took on the role of a slave, and then he broke the tradition of a rabbi never washing their feet. He's good at that. He's good at breaking our traditions. You know, I really believe in your heart today, many of you all want to serve the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to change some of your life patterns for that to occur. We want to serve him with convenience. We're wanting God to look at our life and knowing our life pattern, which he does. And then conveniently let him open up ways for us to serve and keep our life patterns. Jesus is absolutely destroying two custom life patterns here. One is only a slave washes feet. And the other is a rabbi never does it. And he destroyed both life patterns. You with me? We have got to allow those things. There are some traditions in our life that are meant to be broken. There are some life patterns in our life that have to be rearranged. And I love you. Do you love me? Okay, I want you to love me after I make this statement, okay? Some of you need your life patterns changed. Yes. You're wanting God to just come into your life pattern and find his way to ease in there at some variable times and work. When I believe God is asking you to give up your life pattern for him to rearrange it so that your life does serve him. And that's the difficulty. I hear you. I hear you. I feel you. But life patterns have got to change for us to serve effectively. Have to change. It's a hard one to deal with. We don't want to give them up. And we want to serve, and I believe you do want to serve. I do. I'm not putting you down for that. I just believe we don't get it that we see we want to serve conveniently, and he's asking us to let him rearrange our life patterns, and there's no doubt that he needs to do that in all of us to some degree, some in greater degrees than others, so that service will occur. But I do believe a lot of you have in your heart that you want to serve him. You know, if we're not careful, we will say that sin is doing the wrong things, and we'll just stop there. Sin is doing the wrong things, and I'm just going to try in life not to do the wrong things. Well, James says something a little bit differently. He said sin is also knowing to do the right thing and not doing it. I'm just going to repeat it in the good old King James that I grew up with. He who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you're not careful, your only definition of sin will be doing the wrong stuff. But the truth of the gospel is that sin is knowing to do what's right and not doing it. And then you're going, well, then that's the wrong thing. Oh, okay, I hear you. I hear you. But you know what's right and you avoid it. We need to do that. I'm going to tell you how simple my belief is. I believe as a Christian, when you learn something new that needs to be added to your life as a believer, I think you should absorb it. I think you, like Rick Black this morning, ran me down before the service and just ran me down, telling me what happened to him, and we rejoice, and we're going to baptize him next Sunday. And I thought, man, we should all be like Rick. And as you do your personal Bible study, you hear somebody preach, It can be a devotion that you're doing or whatever, and you realize, man, this is what a follower of Christ does, and it's not in your life, then I think you should absorb it. I really believe that simply. I don't think there's this list of what a follower is and me and you get to pick out of what it is. It can come from tithing to serving to whatever. I mean, when I really have tried to live my life, when I see something that's there that I think is not there as a believer, I want to absorb it. Even at 58, I want to absorb it into my life. I've been studying God's word for 32 years, critically even. In this Bible study that we're having tonight, man, I've accepted it to just be one way. And man, I've been diving into this and just finding new treasures in this story of Jesus running out the money changers that I absolutely can't wait to share with you tonight. And I thought I've settled that it only said one thing. When it's really allegory, it says many different points in the story, in the account. But I've just settled with it. It said this. God's word is such a treasure chest for us. And you're never going to figure out the worldview or the way life is going without him. You know, you're going to be really confused in your life. And so for whatever that's worth, when you realize something new is in the life of a believer, be willing to absorb that and take that on. It's incredible with that. It's part of our discipleship. It's part of our serving that we do. My point in that is, if you do a life of service, it will change your life patterns. But you've got to be willing for it to change them. During Lent, one guy wrote me and told me, he said, I'm getting up earlier. I'm waking up before my house does. Y'all understand that, right? I'm getting a cup of coffee and I'm just sitting down with the Word of God before the rest of the house wakes up. He said, man, I can't tell you what that's done for me, how that's blessed me. Well, it's meant to bless you. It's meant to help you. I mean, a lot of you want me to do the Bible study for you. I've got 17 sermons. I'll leave it alone. I'll go on. Here's the example. The example that he's given is that you're wanting a king, but realize this king bows. This king bows. You want him to rule and to reign and just point and click and give orders. This king bows and washes feet that's been walking in waste and dirt and dust. He bows. This king serves. This king humbly serves. Look at Matthew 20 and 28. You know this verse, but let me remind you of it. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He's pointing to the cross here. He is pointing to the cross. Even with the foot washing, he's pointing to the cross because he says, if you think this is service, wait until just a few days. Wait until a few days. There's going to be a greater service. You know, that's what Lent is about. Focus on the cross. When you're fasting, you're not drinking your Diet Coke or you're not having your chocolate or you've left social media and you're going, man, this is tough. Well, the rest of the world would laugh at that probably as that being difficult for you because 80% of the world only has one meal a day. And so they would laugh probably at us that we gave up chocolate. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean to be mean, but I just want you to get the perspective here of how blessed you really are. In that, you're suffering through what you're giving up for Lent, and you're going, man, this is difficult. I don't know if I can do it. Is meant to point you to the greater suffering that God has done for you through the person of Jesus. So what little suffering we do, there's even a song that we sing. It talks about, and if my life is filled with suffering, I believe it's the song, God is So Good. I'm not sure on that. Somebody's going to have to help me. Is it? Thanks, Sherry. Preacher kid power, right? Thank you. And in that, it says, and if my life is filled with suffering, I'm going to reflect on the cross because there's no amount of suffering that I will ever encounter that will match his suffering for that. So during Lent, we're asking you to focus on what? What he did for you on the cross, how much he suffered for you, even when you're fasting from your whatever. how much he suffered to do that. It's a greater story. So he's going to take up our cross. Look at Luke 9:23. It says, he said to them, if anyone wants to come with me, be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? What does that mean, take up his cross daily and follow me? It means serve. When Jesus washed their feet, he was serving. When he carried our cross, he was serving. When he died on the cross, he still served us. In his ascension, he's gone to the throne. What's he doing on the throne? He's interceding. He's king. He's not going to be king. He already is king, but it's a different kingdom. It's a different kingdom. And what's he doing on that throne? Well, he's interceding. He's commanding the mission of the church. He's directing the Holy Spirit to empower it. He's still serving us. Even on the throne, he's still a king that serves us. And you and I need to stop in our busy schedules, our life patterns, and remember how much he actually has served us. Not only washing our feet, but carrying the cross. So when it says take up your cross daily and follow him, what does it mean? It means serve. And you're going, well, they're suffering and serving. Well, hello. And then it points to his greater suffering of what he did for us. Yeah, life patterns have to change. Go back to our hope arrow. People come to me, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I want to plug into the church. What do you want me to do? Church, answer me. You be Preacher Jeff for a moment. Will you do that? Answer it. What do I want you to do? Point to it, will you? I want you to do the hope arrow. Oh, I've been a church for 10 years. Preacher, what do you want me to do? Point at that thing again, will you? I want you to do the hope arrow. You got to come to me. We need this program. We need that program. I'll go, wait a minute. Just do that right there. If you do that right there, we will connect. Empty seats will be filled. That's not totally our goal. We'll be putting a dent in 67,000 people. That's not our goal. Our goal is wild turkey. If they can go global from Tyrone, I've been saying this for 21 years, right? Those of you who've been with me, right? It's not a new statement, is it, Vanessa? If they can go global from Tyrone, then we can go global from here. How are we going to do it? That thing right there. Have spiritual conversations, open up God's word, especially the gospels. Know the gospels inside and out. Pray and listen. Eat with people and realize you are being sent. And we're going to be baptizing every Sunday. We're going to be sending people. We're going to be planting churches. It's a movement of God. It's not a church growth program. I'm done with programs. Don't ask me to come start another program. You're going, this is a program. It's not a program. It's engaging you to serve as he intended us to do. That's not a program. That's a movement. So when he washed their feet, he served them, but he was pointing to, in a few days, I'm going to continue to serve you in a greater capacity, because kings don't die on a cross either. Kings don't wash feet. Rabbis don't wash feet. And kings don't die on crosses. And all he has shown us is a continual pattern of serving us. And he continually serves us. And one day he's coming back for us to give us what he's eternally promised us. One day Eden will come back and we're going to live in the perfection of how all this started to begin with. Amen? And we're going to thrive and he's going to reign in that time. But in the meantime, we serve. Take that card, if you will. It's on the seat beside you or your seat. God's giving you two names. Write those two names on that card right now. Take that card home with you. Don't leave it behind. Don't leave it for somebody else to do. Who are those two people he's put on your heart to bless this week? Do one of the things in the Hope Arrow. Just encourage them. I got a card this week. Gosh, man, I don't know who sent it. It was anonymous. And I'm going to investigate to the best of my ability. Is one of the best cards I've ever received in my pastorate, ever. And man, did I need it. And I don't want you to put my name on your card. You can do that in my birthday. It's July 13th, 1960. Write that down on your card. I don't want that. I really don't. But the Lord, I receive what happened. Let's just put it that way. Go be a blessing to those two people this week. Because the Holy Spirit, if he's given you that name, he's already working in their life. And he just wants the two of you to match and to come together. Trust him in that and bless him in that. Would you bow and just pray over those two people right now? Will you do that? Those two people he's given you. Would you just pray for them? Pray for the interaction, the opening. Remember, we have an unseen enemy that's going to try to block you in this. Push through. Push through it. You may have to change the life pattern this week to carry out just those two blessings. And if you do, do it. Change it. And follow that. Watch how God uses you in the movement of his kingdom. Father, I pray over our people today. I do know in their heart they want to serve. There can be a confusing time of just changing life patterns. Just this really comes down to trusting you. And Lord, teach us. Teach us in trusting you. Of just one name at a time, one life at a time to bless them. Bless our people, Lord. Bless their willingness to serve. And then teach them how to do that is our prayer. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to give an invitation for you to come and surrender to Christ. You come. There are people here to minister to you, with you, and for you. We offer communion to the believer. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink. Before you consume it, will you remember how he served us on the cross? He took our place, and he took on our sin. Thank him for that sacrifice, and then eat and remember him. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Church, stand if you will. Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us. You respond as the Holy Spirit beckons you to come.